Take your Bibles, if you will, the book of Luke, chapter 22. Luke, chapter 22. What a blessing it is to be able to come and share with you thoughts from the Word of God. Let's stand together, beginning at verse 14 down through verse 23. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Christ knew what lay ahead, and he was going through with it. It was not plan B, it was plan A. He came to die for you and for me. Verse 16, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth, as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come and to look into your word. And Lord, may we never betray you. But Lord, we know that if we do, you will welcome us back. And that, Lord, we pray that it will only be a one-time thing. Lord, we ask now that you would bless the teaching of the word. May the Spirit move, may hearts be touched, may souls be saved. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verses 14 through 18 is our Lord's last Passover meal with the disciples. It was a time of remembering, a time of rejoicing for the Lord's deliverance. In verses 19 and 20, we have Jesus Christ instituting the Lord's Supper. This do in remembrance of me. And then verses 21 through 23, Jesus announces his betrayal. Because we know the whole story, we know who betrayed him. And who was that that betrayed him? Judas Iscariot. But would not Peter also betray him shortly? Yes, but oftentimes we think worse of Judas than we do of Peter. Yet it is my belief that Jesus prayed for Judas even as he did for Simon Peter, where we read in Luke chapter 22, where Jesus says to Peter, to Simon Peter, but I have prayed for thee. He even makes intercession for you and for me. May I say this, when you pray, don't go praying to any angels. When you pray, don't go praying to Mary. When you pray to Jesus Christ. You pray to the Heavenly Father. You pray that the Holy Spirit can move. You pray to God and God Himself. And Jesus makes intercession for you and for me. The book of Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Aren't you glad he's able to save you fully? Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He makes intercession, folks, for you and for me. Betrayal. Betrayal means treachery, treason, disloyalty, deception, breach of faith, cheating, dishonesty. And all of those would fit what Judas did to Jesus Christ. But I would not want the Lord to begin counting the times that I have betrayed him. When I have put something in front of him. When I have gone in a course that I shouldn't go. See, all of us at one time or another have betrayed the Lord. All of us at one time or another decided if I stand up for the Lord, it will be embarrassing. If I bow my head to pray here before I eat, my coworkers or my fellow students or those in my family, they would know there's something strange about me. May I say this? Are you willing to bow your head and pray? Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Exodus chapter 20. And when I ask you to turn to the book of Exodus chapter 20, I'm asking you to turn to what portion of Scripture? Tell me, folks. The Ten Commandments. We'll be putting the Ten Commandments on our wall back here. It's been something that I've been considered doing for quite a while when they figured that they've been taking them out of courthouses and whatnot and out of schools. I thought, well, we need to have the Ten Commandments on our wall. Did I say Exodus chapter 20 beginning at verse 1? Now I have. Verse 1. And God spake all these words. Who's speaking here, folks? God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. May I say this? The Lord our God has brought us out of the house of bondage. We are bound by sin to Satan, and the Lord has redeemed us. He has paid the price. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a what? A jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy sons, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor any cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his man's servant, nor his maid servant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Thou shalt have no other gods. We live in a world that is full of gods. We give them red carpets. We give them parades. We give them money beyond measure to entertain us, and they become our gods. We have many gods. Some of it is in our wallet. Some of it is at our home. Some of it is our home. They become our gods. They are what we would die for. Thou shalt have no other gods. Thou shalt not bow down to any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. May I say this to many? They do it so much they don't even know they do it. But they don't love the Lord. They don't love him. Thou shalt remember the Lord's day. These first four commandments are man to God. The next six will be man to man. But we need to remember that the Lord clearly tells us that he is the creator of the heaven and the earth. He leaves no doubt. God is speaking. He says, I have created the heaven and the earth. And he did it in 6 days. He did it. He spoke the words. We don't believe, or I don't teach, theistic evolution. I believe in 6 days God created all that there is. 6 literal days. He could have done it in 6 minutes. He could have done it in 6 seconds. But in 6 days. But then the fifth commandment, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. We live in a world that doesn't know how to honor parents. Television programs make parents look like they're the stupidest things that ever walked. Interesting, teenagers will become what? Parents. Then they'll think, oh, my parents really weren't so stupid. But we need to realize that honor is important. If a child will not honor his parents, they will never honor God. Because if you won't obey his commandments, why would you obey God or honor your parents? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not covet. I have told you this in the past. I will tell you it again. If you can keep commandment number 1 and commandment number 10, most likely you'll keep the other 8 commandments. Anybody here ever kept commandment number 10? Have you ever kept commandment number 1? We struggle, don't we? Every one of us, we struggle with these things. Thus, we want to throw them out. Thus, we want to remove them from our society because they are a bothersome to our conscience. But I would like to talk to you about the 7th commandment. In fact, that's the title of my message, simply 7th commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. The committing of adultery is betrayal. Yes or no? It's betrayal. Is that not what Judas did? He betrayed Christ. If you would, we understand that thou shalt not be immoral. Does our society today teach morality? What it teaches is if it feels good, do it. What it teaches is that we all want to have fun and let's go do it. But may I say this, we're not to be lewd in our dress. We are not to have fornication in our lives. Homosexuality, adultery, they are not God's plan. We have a society that is full of STDs. The first time I heard that, I thought, STDs. What does that mean? Sexually transmitted diseases. Does it stop us? No, we continue. We live in a society that has forgotten who our Creator is and that He has a plan. Genesis chapter 1, if you would please. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and read verses 26 and 27. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Point number 1. The declaration, chapter 2, verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be what? Alone. That's the declaration. God said it's not good that man should be alone. In Philippians 4:19, it says, my God shall supply all your need. Man needed what? A woman. That's what he needed. Yes. Second, a new creation. I will make him an helpmeet. Verse 18, I will make him an helpmeet. A helpmeet is a support, a helper, an assistant, one that will help another fulfill a task. Eve was to help Adam in his service to the Lord. She was to help him. We are to help one another. And yet we live in a society that says, well, we don't have to help one another. It's all about us. They need to take care of me. He hasn't taken care of my needs. She hasn't taken care of my needs. There's got to be someone better out there. The operation, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. The Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Adam gave a rib, Christ gave his blood. Next, we have the presentation, and brought her unto the man. I can only imagine what Adam thought when he'd seen all the deer and the giraffes and the dinosaurs and the frogs and the turtles and the everything that was out there. And he's probably wondering, where's the one for me? And we find here the presentation, and brought her unto the man. Verse 23, we have the acceptance. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Adam acknowledged and accepted this gift from God. He now had a companion. Adam, who named the animals and birds, they could not provide what he needed. Only woman could provide what it needed. A Jewish tradition notes that God did not make Eve from Adam's foot, lest he try to dominate her, or from his head, lest she see herself as above him. Instead, God took Eve from Adam's rib, that the two might go through life side by side. A friend. Jesus is our friend. Let us not betray him. I say this, that we have to be careful in our daily lives. Satan's desire is to take every believer and knock them down. Satan's desire is to see the Covenant Baptist Church crippled. Satan's desire is to see us close our doors. That's his desire. His desire is to see you sleeping in on a Sunday morning. His desire is for you to separate yourself from the Lord. Number six, the result. Verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Any relationship that will cause us to leave our mate instead of cleaving to them must be broken. The picture of marriage of man and woman is the same image of Christ as the bridegroom and the church as the bride. Jesus left his father when he came to earth. He left his mother when he died on the cross, and he cleaves to his people, his redeemed people. We close with Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. I'll give a pause there for women to say amen. Husbands, love your wives. And gave himself for it. May I say this, men? If your wife ever says to you, will you die for me? Don't hesitate. Simply say yes, and I would do it twice. I'd be glad to die for you. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Christ is the one that redeems. We cannot redeem ourselves. I don't care how good looking you are, how much money you have, how busy you are for the cause of the church. You cannot save yourself. It's done by Jesus Christ. He has sanctified and cleansed us. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. Do you remember, guys, walking? No, you didn't walk down the aisle. She walked down the aisle. Do you remember looking back? I remember it was many years ago. It's almost 42 years ago. Almost 42. I was standing right here. My dad had told me when I was out there, he goes, there's a door you can escape right now. It goes outside. See, it says exit. And I came up them steps and everything changed. And I was right here when she came around the corner with Mr. Derringe. Yeah, so we had a friend in college that he said he would give his daughter X number of dollars to elope. He was so nervous, he ran her into the pews as he came down the aisle. That was interesting. Yes. I'll move along, right, Donna? Just move along. Yes. But we find he wants to present it as a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and what? Of his bones. Wasn't Eve taken is a bone from Adam? And we as the church, we that are members of his body, his flesh, and his bones. Jesus Christ loves us. He was willing to die for you and for me. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, today's the day you should do so. Because we have no guarantee of tomorrow. Shall we stand together? 401, it will be our song of invitation. Only trust him. 401, only trust him. Shall we turn there and then we'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this invitation time. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of marriage. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you. And as a church, may we proclaim the word of God until you call us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.